talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 78. Got William and Henry here with me.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going, boys?
Pretty good.
Yep.
I got a 100 on a CBA. I got 100 on a science test where I had no idea what I was doing half the time, so that's cool.
How is that possible? How can you get 100 on something you didn't know what you were doing?
Okay, I knew what I was doing for most of the time, and for parts of it, I kind of had to infer.
You can't just guess on a science test, can you?
Well, I wasn't...
Don't you have to know science to get a 100 on a test?
Well, I knew most of it, but there are a lot of questions where I kind of had to infer using, like, context clues and stuff. Sometimes, I don't know, tests are kind of hard for me, not because of studying. Sometimes it's just kind of hard to, like, just, like, the way the questions are set up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I'll context get to a question.
Context clues are really important on tests.
But, and if we do an analysis...
It's good to have test-taking strategies, that's true.
Sometimes on a test, there'll just be, like, one question that it's worded, like, really weirdly. Or it's, like, two answers that mean the exact same thing, but you know one of them's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what's really hard about, like, multiple choice tests.
Well, there's just
because
one.
Usually, like, when there's four answers, it's, like, two of them you can get rid of really easily. And then you just have to decide between two that look like they could both be right.
Yeah, last year I took this one, like, social studies test that I was super frustrated about because I totally studied for it, but all the questions are really weird, so I ended up getting, like, an 80-something. So, oh, and by the way, I get to do an analysis, and if I complete that, I'll get 107 because I add 7 points to the grade.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something more exciting than tests.
Yeah.
Did you know that 1 week from today, The Last Jedi comes out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That's pretty exciting, huh? It seems like we've known about it for so long, and it's been so far away that it's weird that we're so close to it already.
I kind of hope that it won't be, like, too serious. Maybe that's just the trailer. I mean, usually trailers for action movies are always super serious and don't really include that much jokes. But
I read an article, actually, and there was an interview with a cast and with Rian Johnson, and it was, like, this big article. I think it was Rolling Stone, maybe, or some other magazine where it was, like, the cover story. And they were talking about how the trailers make it seem really serious, but there's actually a lot of fun and funny parts to it.
Like the porgs?
Yeah, I like the porgs.
That's good.
I'm super excited for it. I was thinking the other day, just today, should I go ahead and buy us our tickets?
Yes.
Yes.
You only need to buy tickets in advance. This is a Star Wars movie, so.
Probably. I mean, it's going to be in, like, every theater, so I'm sure we'll be able to see it eventually. But maybe we should just go ahead and pick a time and get our tickets now.
Yeah.
Or maybe if, like, tickets are really hard to find, then you could just, like, put your mouse over the buying tickets one and just click really fast.
Just keep clicking on it.
Until one's available in which you'll click it right then.
I'm sure I'll be able to find some theater and some showing, like, in the first couple of days it's out that we'll be able to go see it.
Yeah, I hope this makes up for Rogue One, because I feel like with Rogue One, like, the first half of the movie is really good, and then I just kind of zoned out.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. I liked Rogue One, but I think this will be even better. I think...
Yeah.
Maybe my expectations are, like, way too high for this, but I think it's going to be the best Star Wars movie ever.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's by a director they really like, right?
I know. Rian Johnson is just a big movie hero of mine, so I just really think it's going to be good.
Okay. Yeah, and the porgs are awesome.
Okay, one thing I don't get about the trailer is Luke evil or good? Because you said that it's time for the Jedi to end, so is that evil or good?
Well, I don't want to speculate too much, but I think what we're supposed to infer is that he's just really worn down by life. Like, he's seen a lot, and he's really tired, and he's been through a lot, and he sees that they're, like, Jedis can be good, but they can also be really bad, and he just thinks it's the time for the Jedis to end. But I'm totally speculating based on, like, you know, 5 seconds in the trailer. Yeah. I think it's going to be more complicated than what we saw in the trailer.
Yeah, actually,
his robotic arm looks really cool.
Yeah, and you see, his robotic arm is tilted just 1 degree to the left than it should have been, and I figured out the entire plot from there. Okay, basically, here's what happens.
That is what people do analysis of, like, teaser trailers. That's what they do.
I hate that.
They'll figure out the entire plot.
With, like, this whole theory based on, like, 1 second in the trailer or something you see in the background. I don't like that.
There's whole channels dedicated to that.
I really don't like that. there's something about that I just find really
spoilery.
Not good. But, in fact, if like in a perfect world for me, if it's a movie I really want to see, I don't want to know anything about going in. Like, I'd rather not watch any trailers at all and just go, well, I know I'm going to see this movie. I just want to enjoy it from the beginning to the end.
I know one person who said that Luke was like not going to be on the light side or dark side.
Oh, yeah, that was Jacob, because he wasn't really trying to... He's trying to stop both sides, basically.
Ooh, can we talk about the Infinity War trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, that came out recently.
Yeah.
When does that movie come out? Is that like next summer?
I think it's May 2017. Alexa.
May 2018.
Alexa, when does Avengers Infinity War come out?
The next The Avengers movie film is Avengers Infinity War and will be released on May 4th, 2018.
May 4th, on Star Wars Day.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
This podcast is not sponsored. It is on
Star
Alexa.
Wars Day, 2018. That's pretty bold, Disney. Pretty bold.
Wait.
Who's May 4th, 2018, which is also your grandmother's birthday.
Yeah. One thing I noticed about the trailer, which a lot of people probably don't care about, is Thanos is bald. He's not wearing a helmet.
I guess if you're like this super powerful space guy, you can be bald and it's okay.
But a helmet makes you look more like grand.
What I found kind of confusing about this trailer, and maybe this means nothing, but before when we saw Thanos, he was very blue. Yeah. In the trailer, he was like, what was he like, kind of purplish?
A lot of people have been talking about that. And like in the cutscene after the first Avengers movie, he was like red.
Did he just get like a suntan or something?
It could be. I mean, he was in space in Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know.
Okay, I mean, is there going to be an explanation for that? Or is he like a chameleon? Maybe he's like a chameleon. He just changes colors depending on where he is.
Or maybe they just got better at animating. I don't know. It probably doesn't matter.
You would think they would keep that consistent, but I don't know much about Thanos. Other he went than from red he's a super powerful
to
guy.
Blue to purple. And you he think can it would wield, be like, switched around.
He can wield
the Infinity Gauntlet.
The Infinity Gauntlet, yeah.
Also, I bet that he is going to be way less powerful than he was in the comics, because on the first Infinity War comic, apparently it ends with him snapping with the Infinity Gauntlet and half the universe is just gone.
Oh, yeah?
This one person said that they change up Thanos' look to like fit personalities and plot and stuff. I can kind of see why he doesn't look like he does in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Except the one thing that Marvel has really done is keep everything really consistent, especially the big stories. And they've known for a long time, since I think the first Avengers movie, that they've known that Thanos was going to be, it was all leading up to like a big battle with Thanos.
Yeah.
So I think that everything they've done, probably like the big things, they've had it mapped out. So...
Well,
there are probably reasons for the stuff.
They've had character redesigns, though. Like, Iron Man's suit is always changing, so is Captain America's.
Yeah, and Spider-Man's suit and stuff. Yeah. But that's a suit, though. I mean, you can explain that. It's just a new version of the suit.
But your skin?
I mean, Thanos is computer animated.
Maybe there's got to be a reason for it, though.
An overpowered chameleon who likes very, very expensive diamonds.
I don't know. I
thought that the trailer was really good, though.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. I feel like I was kind of expecting it to be like super duper exciting, but I don't know.
And it kind of, you know, honestly, like I wasn't that excited to watch the trailer, believe it or not. And I think part of it was because after watching Justice League, like Justice League, I enjoyed it while I was watching it. But the more I think about it after watching it, the less I like it. Does that make sense? Parts of it just don't really make a lot of sense.
I would give Justice League maybe like a 7 out of 10. It was fun, but... They could have done so much more with the plot. Yeah, it was like
there were issues.
It was like, huh, we're gonna revive Superman. Oh boy, we revived Superman. Now let's stop Steppenwolf. Oh boy, we've stopped Steppenwolf. Yay.
Hi Superman, where were you? Oh yeah, you were just standing in a field because you're the most perfect person ever.
Yeah, get out of the cornfield and help us fight this guy. But see, like after watching Justice League, I was kind of thinking, you know, in Justice League, they fight Steppenwolf, who's like this extraterrestrial, super powerful,
more like
godlike being. And then I thought, and it's mostly CGI. And then I thought, well, do I really want to watch another superhero team movie where they're fighting some extraterrestrial, super powerful, godlike being?
I don't think Steppenwolf is extraterrestrial. I think he's extra generic.
Is he extra dimensional? I don't know. He comes from some other realm.
He's a very generic enemy, and I had like no doubt that the Justice League would be able to defeat him. They didn't make it intense.
Like a big axe? Is that his thing?
Yeah, like after seeing the Infinity War trailer,
I think
like,
it was an axe.
After seeing the Infinity War trailer, him with like the Infinity Stones, him like slamming down Spider-Man and like ripping out the Infinity Stone out of Vision, like you could tell that he's like a powerful supervillain.
But Steppenwolf is just like, yes, I'm going to do this. Okay, bye.
Yeah, he was a really boring villain. Like you didn't know anything about him, and you really never, other than he wanted to come conquer the world or destroy the world or something.
There were fun parts about that movie, though. I feel like the Flash was mostly good, but I feel like he didn't need, like, they didn't need to make every single line he said funny.
There were some pretty, I liked the Flash. There were moments that I liked. Yeah. But I think Infinity War is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think the best character in that was 100% definitely Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was good. The Flash was good.
I thought
Cyborg had moments.
Overall,
I wasn't
really crazy about Aquaman. I know a lot of people really do like him, but I don't know.
Batman was actually pretty good.
He just seemed like kind of a bro dude to me.
Give Justice League 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because it was fun, but I had some issues with it.
Yeah.
So it got really, really cold.
Yeah.
I don't have any cold jokes prepared, so I won't ask you. Don't ask me how cold it is. But it got really, really cold. Like last night, it got down to like the 20s and it stayed kind of cold all day.
Yeah.
Which is cold for Texas. It was like what they call a hard freeze. Like you actually have to have a sweater and a coat to go outside and not feel really super cold. I had to scrape ice off my car this morning. It was cold.
It's so cold.
I have not. Save those jokes for maybe when we do an episode.
It's so
in
cold,
January.
Except that all of our cold jokes were stupid.
All of our cold jokes were.
That's still how cold
in the freezer.
It is.
They hadn't thawed yet. So that was our weather update. Our Maisie update. Maisie, our Boston Terrier.
Do we even need an update for her? Oh, yeah.
We do because. Where is she right now? I don't know. She's on the couch. She's kind of tired. She's been in her kennel most of the night because we had some little kids around, and she's not great around super little kids. But I finally got the Christmas tree up. I talked about that last podcast. I also put up our train that goes around the Christmas tree, and I put it together, and I was testing it out, and I was like, okay, let's see what Maisie does with the train, because I thought she might freak out a little bit with the train. Sure enough, like she was watching it, and then she kind of chased it around a little bit and kind of sniff at it. Well, it didn't take too long before she started like running after it and trying to bite the train. And so I had to get kind of tough with her and say, Maisie, don't bite the train.
This morning, it was a problem. Like, what do I bite? Until she actually found something to bite, and that was the caboose.
This morning, she bit
it on its caboose, and that's not a euphemism, but she bit it on its caboose, and it jumped the track, and we had to tell her no.
Yeah, this morning I slipped on the track and fell on the wood floor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did. You be careful about that.
Yeah,
you know it's there. You know it's there. Just remember that it's there because there's a big Christmas tree. I think we might make it a little smaller. I made it big a couple years ago because we had a really wide tree, but I think I might take some of the tracks out and make the track a little smaller.
Yeah, well, now it's all connected, so I wouldn't be able to slip on it.
Yeah.
Before it was just kind of loose.
So we're only, today's the 8th, so we're going to post this one tonight at midnight. It was a busy week, so we didn't get the podcast done any time earlier this week. But
science fair.
We are less than 3 weeks from Christmas. About 2.5 weeks from Christmas.
Well, it's only next week, and then it's Christmas break. So yeah.
Yeah. So we got one more week of school, and then the week after that, you guys are off school. I'm going to take 4 of those days off work.
Doesn't Elizabeth
have... So I'm going to be home most that week.
Doesn't Elizabeth have a winter break that's like a month long?
I don't know when her finals are. I think they're right about the same time you leave. So hopefully she'll be home too, so we can be together and play games and do podcasts and eat all kinds of crazy food.
We can play Machikoro. Have we talked about Machikoro?
We have. We've definitely recommended Machikoro.
Yeah.
To our podcast audience.
But I remember Elizabeth's winter break is way longer than ours.
Yeah, because I think she gets a couple weeks after...
Into February.
Yeah,
I don't think she goes into February.
And we only have 2 days the week after New Year's to sleep in.
Usually we have 2 weeks of winter break because of New Year's and Christmas.
Yeah.
But this week we have like 2 days after that because we have to sleep in after New Year's Eve. So we get like 2.5 weeks.
We got to start moving on our buying our Christmas presents, because Christmas shopping, I don't know, it feels like Christmas is right around the corner and we got to get some Christmas shopping done.
Yeah, I really
want
to...
Tomorrow, maybe we can go after your piano lessons, go do some Christmas shopping.
I really want a Lego Mindstorm set. It's where, like,
you can... So what is that? Tell me about that.
You program we're using a robotics. Lego robot.
Yeah?
It's Lego where, like, you
Mindstorm,
get this, like,
it's called?
You get this Lego brick that's about the length, maybe slightly larger, of a Google phone. It's like maybe a few inches thick. And you plug it into the computer and you program a bunch of code for what steps it'll take. And you can, like, put on motors or sensors or whatever. And then, and if you press a button, then you can, like, go through the files for each code and it'll run that and just do whatever you want it to do. You can attach, like, wheels and different Legos to it. And there's people that have made, like, gigantic, like, animatronic endoskeletons that can, like, look around and, like, recognize people out of just EV3 sets.
So is the idea that, like, that part of the Lego is, like, programmable, and then you can make it in, like, operate a robot or something like that?
Yeah, we just finished up
It's called Lego Mindstorm?
Yeah, in robotics, we do these things called challenges where the coach will... Because our robotics teacher is a coach, he'll pair us up with partners and we'll do some sort of challenge, usually a contest. This time we did a tug-of-war contest where we'd use gears to make two different robots, like, pull on a rope, and we'd have, like, a contest,
like, a
and brackets for that. By the way, our robotics coach is super nice. He's just really nice, and he even... he'll give out a lot of food. Like, he gave me a pack of Doritos on my birthday, and... Like, this one time he even had, like, a, like, veggie shake and was giving people sips.
Yeah. I met your robotics teacher at, like, Meet the Teacher Night. He seemed like a super nice guy.
Yeah, because there's, like, some coaches that are really harsh and some coaches that are nice, but...
Yeah, he seems like the nice coach.
Yeah.
So, one other thing I wanted to talk about was in your... You've got a multimedia class.
Ooh, that's so fun.
And you like it a lot, and you do, like... I don't know, like a lot of Photoshop and visual presentation type projects.
We just started a GarageBand unit.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about. So you have made a GarageBand song, and I thought it was pretty awesome. And because it's totally audio, I thought we could share it on the podcast.
Yeah, so far, other than that, we put, like, music and sound effects to a car commercial, and we put sound effects and background music to... like this, like, nature or silent nature videos of, like, nature stock footage. Okay, so yeah. So how I made this was on GarageBand, I just found a bunch of different loops on there. So they're, like, one part of a music. Like,
so they have, like, loops already that you can just sort of plug it in?
Each loop probably only has, like, a maximum of maybe three instruments at the very most. But I just put it all together and I created kind of like a jazzy song. Haven't decided what to call it yet.
It sounds pretty good. It sounds like dance music, like electronic dance music.
Yeah, maybe like disco funk. I don't know. Maybe that's what I'll call it.
All right, here.
Disco head nod.
Do you have the plug? Here it is. It's very funky. I like
it. It sounds like Seinfeld.
Got that bass going. It reminds me of like 80s dance music. Like something they might have danced to in the end of Stranger Things 2.
Yeah.
What do you think, Henry?
The beginning sounds like Seinfeld.
Yeah, because of the bass, yeah.
And I got a bit lazy with the finale, but...
No, I like it.
No, at the very end. This part.
Sounds awesome.
Okay. So ours had to be a minute long at least, so that's a minute and I think it's like a minute and 2 seconds.
I like it. I think you should do the extended dance mix version. It goes on for like 20 minutes long.
It was kind of hard to stretch it out to 1 minute, so I don't know about 20 minutes.
When I was a kid, so in the 80s, like the dance music, They always had like, there would be like the album version that was like 4 minutes long, you know, 4.5 minutes long. And then they would come out with like this record version where it was like a whole side of a record and it'd be like 20-minute long dance version. Yeah. So it'd be like the same song and they'd just stretch it out. I always kind of hated that actually, but that's what they would have like it. I don't know, if you went to like a dance club, they'd play like the big long dance version, extended dance mix.
Yeah, there's all these people that will like make music and then put it on Newgrounds, like instrumental music.
Yeah.
Like the type of music that's in Geometry Dash. And it's like the first 1 or 2 minutes is like, hey, this is a pretty good song. And they're just like, oh my gosh, this won't stop going. It's like 5 minutes long.
Oh, and then there's songs where it's like, oh, this is pretty good. Oh, wait, it's like 5 seconds.
Yeah, like,
or just repeats.
Like a short enough to be ringtones.
It's like, it just repeats, repeats. Repeats and just keeps on repeating.
Yeah. So one other thing I want to talk about. I don't have a good segue here. But I've been thinking a lot about one of our big family stories. I'm not sure if I've shared this on the podcast before. But I'll go ahead and dip into the family archives.
Family archives?
What secrets does this ancient repository of power and knowledge hold?
This one's a fun one.
So I'm going to tell this story. This was about 5 years ago.
Could I help tell the story?
I'm going to tell it, and I want you to correct it in like what you remember about the story. Because I'll tell you how I remember it, and you can tell me what you remember because it was something that happened to you.
Yeah.
So it was right after we moved to the town we live in now. When was that? Like 5 years ago?
Six years ago?
That was when I was 5 after.
And I'm 11 now.
Okay, so it was 6 years ago.
It was right maybe after a couple years here. After we moved.
No, I think it was the year we moved.
We moved in 2011.
We moved to this town, and this at the main fire station in our town, there's like this little safety town, which is kind of cool because it's got all the little buildings and like looks like a little street. And for Christmas, they decorate it. So they put Christmas lights up, and they do kind of like a little Christmas village thing. And we were just out driving around, kind of thinking of something to do right about this time of year. And we're driving past and we're like, oh, look, Safety Town's got Christmas lights up. And we just stopped by to check it out. And we were walking through and they had a Santa. They had a Santa in Christmas Town. And you were very much insistent that you wanted to go see Santa. And we were like, oh, okay, well, fine. Yeah, we can go see Santa. And, you know, that'll be kind of fun. I think they had a hot chocolate and they had like something you could do you could make snowflakes or little craft projects. But, you know, we got in line to see Santa and we're like, oh, so what are you going to tell Santa? You wouldn't tell us what you're going to tell Santa.
Wait a minute. Well,
no, I'll give you a chance to tell your version. And you wouldn't tell us like what, I mean, like, oh, what do you think you'll ask Santa for? And you're like, not going to tell you. And so we go in there and it was pretty nice out. It was probably like, you know, it was maybe a little bit chilly, but it was probably still in like the 60s, like it is in Texas this time of year normally. Not like it was today, but normally it just doesn't get that cold here. It's a few weeks before Christmas. We wait in line, you and your brother wait in line. You sit on Santa's lap, you talk to Santa, and then you come back and we're like, oh, so finally we got you to tell us what you had asked Santa for. And you say, I asked for snow on Christmas.
Okay. Correction time.
All right.
I may have said that to the Safety Town Santa, but
this was the Safety Town Santa.
The important part was, and keep in mind, this was when I was in elementary school. So the night before Christmas, I made a wish list on Christmas Eve evening. And I don't know.
But this is what we found. That's when we first found out about it. That's when you told the Santa. And we were like, oh, crap. Well, that's kind of not going to happen. Because A, it almost never snows in Texas. And B, even if it does snow in Texas, it never snows on Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and Mom,
the odds of that happening, extremely rare.
I mean, and you guys, I mean, Santa can't just buy snow.
Yeah, it's not something we could just order it
you
from
mean
Walmart,
Santa?
You know?
Oh,
you mean Santa?
Santa
can't
Santa?
Just order from
you
Walmart?
We can't just say, well, Santa. You know, we can't tell Santa, hey, you know, just ship us a, with a 2-day free shipping. We'd like you to ship us some snow for Christmas.
But the important part and the part that I was kind of expecting you to just talk about.
And we were like, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's something Santa can do or not.
Yeah, I wrote on a, I mean, you can probably expect where this story's going, but I wrote on a wish list for at least a half inch of snow. And the next day on Christmas morning, it started snowing. It snowed like 6 inches.
Well, no, what happened was, so, you know, normal, didn't, still didn't expect it to snow. Even like Christmas Eve, It was a little bit cold, but it wasn't very cold. And Christmas Eve, like as I was finishing wrapping the presents, so it's like 10, 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, it starts to get kind of stormy and a thunderstorm comes in, which is kind of weird for December anyway, but it's like this big thunderstorm comes in, but it's raining really hard. And then it keeps raining and the temperature drops. And sure enough, Christmas morning, there was snow on the ground and it snowed Christmas Day.
I highly expected that wish to actually come through.
I don't think there was snow on the ground in the morning. I think it was.
There was. There was.
I think it's like.
There wasn't a lot, but there was some, and it kept snowing and snow kept piling up. So we had snow on Christmas Day. We had a white Christmas.
It was like 6 inches.
And guess what happened the next day?
For like. It went away. I think it's probably happened like maybe, I don't know, once in 100 years.
No, it happens. It usually happens like once every year, and like on the years that it doesn't snow.
In Texas. Like on Christmas Day is almost never happens.
On the years
we do get
the,
snow every now and then, but usually it's like in January, February.
On the or even like March, like early March. Yeah. On the years that it doesn't snow, it usually like sleets.
But
last year it didn't snow at all.
It never happens on Christmas, but except for that one day when you wished for snow.
Yeah. The first couple inches are really good, like wet packing snow, and then the rest are like powdery.
So
but
that will always be like a story that we tell. Yeah. In our family, because you wished for snow and it actually happened.
I made a snowman, and so we had these cayenne peppers that, like, there's a Home Depot, like, build your own, like, flower pot thing, and I, or, like, container thing, and I chose cayenne peppers to put in it. Henry chose cantaloupe, but they kind of died out. Anyways,
died out because you said that you'd water the plants for me, and you only watered yours.
Okay, wait, so what do the cayenne peppers have to do?
We
planted cayenne peppers in our flower garden, and they grew into a big plant, and it had peppers. But I don't remember what it had to do with Christmas.
Wait. So, they're way too spicy to eat on, or to. Oh, sorry.
If you feed dead organisms to plants, then they'll grow like crazy. But since you forgot to water my cantaloupe, it died out, and then you just buried it right next to the roots of the cayenne pepper while it was still in the pot. So that it would grow extra, and it got extra spicy.
But it has to do with those, well, partly because you didn't water it as much. So they're way too spicy to just eat by its own. Like, you get just a little bit, and it would be way too spicy.
They're super hot peppers.
Yeah, so I got to use the cayenne peppers for the face on the snowman. It was like the only use I had for it.
It was like for the nose, the red instead peppers. Of carrot.
We still had some around by the time it was December. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, like you for did. The eyes, the nose, and the mouth.
Yeah.
By the way, I love building snowmen. I like just like rolling the snow and just like seeing it just like pack up and build.
Building snowman is pretty cool. I was really hoping it was going to snow this week. It never did, but I heard it actually snowed down in Austin, which is weird because Austin's like to the south of here.
Yeah. Every once in a while you hear about
I don't know
like,
how much it snowed, but it'd be pretty cool.
And by the way, 6 inches was a lot for Texas. Every once in a while you hear about like it snowing in like completely random places at completely random times, like in Arizona or whatever.
The important thing about snow is if it's going to get cold, it might as well snow. And if it's going to snow, it might as well snow while there's school so you can get out of school.
And it might as well snow, like, good wet packing snow.
You don't want it to, like, wait until some winter vacation to snow because
also
then you don't get out of school.
I still like these days because you get out of school, but I hate it when, like, you look outside and you're like, well, there's snow. And then you, like, try to pack it and you're like, oh, wait, this is sleet. Dang it.
Yeah. The slushy stuff's no good. It's nice when you have good fluffy snow.
Me and Phoebe did one time make a sleet man out of like plates of sleet.
That was when we had an ice storm, yeah. Little chunks of ice.
They were just like plates of ice.
Okay, I was going to say something. 1 second.
Ooh, tangents.
I was going to say something.
Was it about snow or school or weather?
I think it might have had something to do with Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, can I say something?
Mm-hmm. You can say something, and then maybe Andrea will remember.
I remember while we were all like going in and out to play with the snow, you were like, "Hey guys, come play this Nintendo game. It's super fun. It's like on this newfound technology." And we were like, "No, Dad, we're just all playing in the snow." And then like weeks later, we found out that was super fun, but like no one wanted to play that because we were all playing with the snow because we got Nintendo Land for Christmas
snow and the Wii
U.
Fun.
That was around the time when the Wii U came out. So
yeah.
By the way, one other thing I like doing. When there's ice, it's just like, or snow, it's just running my finger along the icicles and makes cool noises.
Yeah.
Or like breaking off the icicles. The ones in the cars are really big.
Well, while you're thinking, should we do some news?
Sure.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Okay, I've got a story. About Mars.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say.
All right, what were you going to say?
It was about the cayenne peppers. Okay, basically, I just thought of a use for them. You know how bunnies were a way bigger problem back then because they'd, like, eat people's plants?
Yep.
You crush up the cayenne peppers and throw it on there.
Rub it in their eyes.
You know what?
Make them suffer.
We actually use cayenne pepper sometimes around our plants to keep the bunnies off of them.
Yeah, the cayenne peppers were like...
Yeah, so it's like they taste it and they're like, oh, it's spicy.
The cayenne peppers were like, if you weren't careful when holding them, then like your fingers would burn off.
They were super hot. All right. First story. This is from Mars. Mars rover found something that UFO researchers think is a cannonball.
What?
It's a perfectly spherical object on the surface of Mars. I'll show you the picture. See it?
Whoa, weird.
Can I see?
And so all the UFO conspiracy theorists think that this is obviously evidence of a Mars civilization.
I mean, it could be just like that one time when you saw a face on Mars, it turned out to just be an in-focused crater.
I'll post a picture of this. It looks kind of cool because it's like, it looks like it's perfect. It looks like a sphere. I don't know if it's perfectly spherical, but it looks like a sphere. And all the other rocks around it just look like odd-shaped rocks.
Okay, can I see that again?
Yeah. I'll post a picture on Instagram and Twitter for our podcast audience so they can see it. Or just Google Mars cannonball.
Yeah, there's this one.
And you'll see the article about it.
There's this one time people thought they saw a face on Mars, and they thought that was some sort of like man-made structure, like Martian-made structure, like Mount Rushmore.
But that was just like a geographical feature. This is actually a picture that came back from Mars rover. A prolific UFO hunter, Scott C. Waring of UFO Sightings Daily, said that this is obviously evidence of a Mars civilization. He claimed that the strange object was a metal ball that was about the size of a softball, and he theorizes that the object is actually a cannonball. He says this is 100% evidence of a war on Mars, he claimed, adding that the projectile is surrounded on the Martian surface by rubble of stone. The pieces, the UFO hunter said, are actual fragments of what was once part of a civilization that thrived on the red planet. Okay, so my question is, just because you found a cannonball, wouldn't you sort of also have to find, like, a cannon?
Yeah, and like, wouldn't you have to find
not just a spherical crater, like...
Seriously. His theory is that these cannonballs were shot at Mars from space to burn away the planet's atmosphere, resulting in the destruction of life and civilization that was on the planet. Scientists say, however, scientists who are not UFO theorists say, this is an example of a phenomenon called concretion. So... they theorize that Mars used to at one time be covered in water. And when you have something that's covered in water, there's something called concretion, where there will be bubbles in the water that will fill with a material. And that material is hot. And then that material hardens and it gets covered over with sediment. And then as the sediment wears away, you're left with a spherical object. It's called concretion.
It's something that happens
on the Earth's surface. And they say that's probably what happened on Mars. So it's an example of that, which is kind of a cool thing, but it's not a cannonball that was fired out of space.
I thought it would have to do with bubbles, but I couldn't figure out how. So
that's pretty cool, huh? Anyway, it's a really cool picture, and it does kind of make you scratch your head when you see it. You're like, that looks out of place to have this sphere next to all these ragged, jagged jock.
I think it's a cannonball.
A cannonball that you can hold in your hand.
I think it's a cannonball. Cannonball.
And so you can just, like, it's the size of a softball.
I think it's a cannonball.
Yeah, isn't it cool?
I think
it's
a cannonball.
The size of a softball. How would that be a cannonball?
I think it's a cannonball, just like how the Earth is flat and how Obama is a shape-shifting lizard.
When I was a kid, I lived in New Hampshire. And in New England, like around like Boston, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, that area, did you know they have a different kind of bowling? They have a bowling game that's different from the way they play bowling the rest of the country.
What was it like?
It's called candlepin bowling. And the ball that you use is the size of a cannonball. You can hold it in your hand. You don't stick your fingers in it like a big ball. And the pins are lined up with five in front and five in back. and you get 3 balls of frames instead of 2 balls a frame. So kind of weird,
like,
huh?
So wait, like how big is it? Is it smaller than a bowling ball?
Like a cannonball, like the size of a softball, or this cannonball on the surface of Mars.
Mm. I feel like bowling.
It's kind of nice for kids because it's easier to roll those than a big bowling ball.
I don't know. I still think bowling would be more fun. And there are bowling balls that are lighter than others.
And I remember on TV, there used to be a show called Candlepins for Cash. And you could watch people like bowl candlepin bowling and try to win money.
Seems really repetitive.
I know.
But yeah, bowling is like
kind of a weird thing though. Like candlepin bowling, they don't have it anywhere else in the country.
And
I only sort of vaguely remember it because I was a kid at the time.
I kind of
want to look it up.
Bowling's like
it's in New England. Bowling. Candlepin bowling. Here we go.
Bowling's like my favorite sport.
Yes, it's an actual thing, and it is exactly what I remember it looking like.
Bowling's like my favorite sport, if it even counts as a sport.
It's a variation of bowling that is played primarily in Canada, Maritime provinces, and the New England states of the United States.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. I kind of want to do candlepin bowling again.
Yeah, it does sound kind of fun. Also, Will, bowling may be your favorite sport, but my favorite sport is kazoo.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, kazoo kid.
Oh, okay. It's a meme. A meme, that's why. Dad. I don't know. All right, who wants to read their story?
I will.
Okay.
So, Alabama student stuck wearing Christmas tree costume for finals after tweet.
I like the story. There's an important moral to the story.
Millennials, am I right?
No. You're not right.
You have to give it to Kelsey Hall. She's a good sport. The 20-year-old student at the University of Alabama posted a photo on Twitter December 2nd of her unsmiling self wearing a festive Christmas tree costume. Accompanying the photo was a pledge to wear the costume to class through the end of the semester. She received 1,000 retweets. The internet came through and the message got a whopping 16,000 retweets, meaning Hall had to, well, deck the halls.
So she posted a picture of herself in a Christmas tree costume and said, if I get 1,000 retweets, I'll wear this for the rest of the school semester through finals day. So the moral is, never say that. Like, if you're going to say a number of retweets, make it something like 1,000,000 retweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, she never thought that it would get 1,000 retweets, but it ended up getting, what was it? 16,000?
The reality of wearing
How many retweets did she end up getting?
16,000.
Yeah, and that was like when this article was written. It's probably way more now.
Wait, actually, I don't know what these numbers mean because I don't use Twitter.
Yeah, you can't really tell from this picture. I think it's...
My dad uses Twitter more than me.
I think one of them is likes and one is retweets. I think the first one is replies. So the 412 replies. I think it's... let me look on Twitter to see which one comes first. Yeah, so the first one... There's 31,000 retweets and 50,000 likes.
Okay, so...
So it went viral, and then to her credit... She followed through on it.
Okay, but it's weird that picture is in the article, and yet the article itself says 16,000, so that's weird.
Well, I think because the article just, like, quotes the tweet, so every time it gets new retweets, it updates.
And then after that, she tweeted, guys, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, it's funny. Every time there's a picture of her that she tweets, she has this, like, horrified look on her face, like, I can't believe, like, she's never smiling.
If I did that, I'd go for 10,000.
She's like, this was terrible. She would have got 10,000 though. She's got like 30,000. So I think you got to go with like 1,000,000, yeah, or at least 100,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hall, a chemistry major at UA, told People, the magazine, she received the costume for her mother and posted the photo because she thought it was funny. She was a good sport, however, and photos and videos taken around campus show her going to class in her tree costume. Hall hopes her costume helps spread the joy of the holidays to her fellow students. I went through it with it because I know everyone is going through a tough time with finals coming up, and hopefully I could bring some Christmas cheer to my classmates, Hall said.
So she has a good sense of humor about it, which is cool. But I think it's funny. If you really don't want to do it, make sure it's like a ton of retweets.
Yeah, or just do like 2 because logic.
Or just don't do it, I guess.
And it says, hey, make sure you retweet this tweet for my friend, 6 exclamation marks. Thank you to everyone who helped me reach my me reach your goal. You have no idea how much this means to me. More
duck in the
nine
night.
Exclamation marks.
I'll post some pictures on our Instagram and Twitter feed so you can see that they're pretty funny.
She looks like she's going
through... Or again, you can just Google it. It's pretty fun.
She kind of looks like she's going through an existential crisis.
Yeah. All right, Henry, you want to read your story?
Okay. Now, keep in mind, this is a totally normal story.
Your story is a bunch of baloney.
No. But this is like a completely normal story. 227 pounds of contraband bologna seized at the U.S.-Mexico border.
But what if
completely normal right there.
But what if this isn't true and it actually is a bunch of baloney? No, that wasn't a joke. I'm saying, what if it actually wasn't true?
No, if it is true,
we're spreading false news.
No, it's okay. That's not the headline. The headline is exactly that.
We have...
All right, tell us about all that baloney.
Not sponsored.
Play the cricket drop. You just, like, leave your finger, like, right on top of that drop.
All right, tell us about it.
More than 200 pounds of unclaimed contraband bologna, because it's spelled that way.
It's baloney, though.
I hate it when people spell it that way. And then pronounce it bologna.
Was seized at U.S.-Mexico border this week. CBS affiliate KDBC TV reports. A woman was driving into the U.S. through the Paso del Norte crossing when she told U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, agents that she wasn't carrying fruits, vegetables, meat, or other contraband. Officials said she didn't tell the agents that she was carrying sausage, and officials also said they found 227 pounds of Mexican bologna stashed under floor mats in the vehicle. How would you not destroy the vehicle with 227 pounds of bologna?
That is a lot of deli meat. That is a ton. Like, why are you bringing that much bologna into the country? And I don't mean that as a joke. No, really, I don't mean it as a joke.
No.
Stop laughing, everyone.
Do you have a Seinfeld drop? Yeah, thank you. That's the Seinfeld drop.
So is there more to the story? Or just basically someone tried to smuggle a whole bunch of bologna into the country?
There's slightly more. Officials said the woman was fined with $1,000. Bologna is considered contraband because of its potential to introduce foreign diseases into the U.S. pork industry, according to the CBP. Bologna has diseases in it?
It can be, if it can be contaminated.
Okay.
It'd be a problem. It's a way you gotta fry it up really good if you have a bologna sandwich. Mm. You ever had a fried bologna sandwich? Probably not.
Mm. Okay.
That's some fine eating right there.
What is bologna? I've never even...
It's kind of like a flat hot dog. That's how I've always thought about it.
Okay, really? In May, officials say
instead of having a long hot dog, you just have a really flat one.
Okay, but officials say they seized 30 rolls of Mexican bologna at the port of entry in Santa Teresa, New Mexico.
Wait, is that like a? Is it still long like a hot dog?
I think actually, so the one we're talking about, it'd be like a giant hot dog. So it would still be in like a log. And then when you cut it into slices, you would like slice the bologna. Usually when we see it, it's like already been sliced.
Oh, so like salami?
Bologna's not very good.
Is it like salami?
Yeah,
it's like salami, except it's like kind of bland because it's like a hot dog.
It's a bunch of bologna.
Maybe that's why people say that it's like a bunch of bologna.
Oh, this joke's getting better and better.
No, it isn't.
Our studio audience really enjoys it.
No. When the cow say to the other cow, moo. Thank you.
You need to stop spamming the sound effects.
So we got one more story here.
Did you just hear the joke that you made?
Do you guys know about the Google burger emoji controversy?
What?
No.
So Google's, the Android burger emoji was very controversial because someone pointed out that they didn't like the way the burger was made. So the old Google burger emoji had bun, lettuce, tomato, meat patty, and then cheese, and then bun. Like, the cheese was underneath the meat. And everyone was like, that doesn't make any sense. You want to have the cheese on top of the meat, like a cheeseburger.
People
were very upset about that. They were like, that's wrong. That burger is wrong. Well, good news. Google has fixed it.
These people sound like, these people actually sound like people posting on Tumblr.
Or yeah. Reddit. I think this might have come up on Reddit. But they fixed it. So Android has come out with a new version, Android 8.1, and they have fixed the burger emoji. So now it looks like bun, lettuce, tomato, cheese, meat patty, and bun. Before, they had the meat patty on top of the cheese, and everyone was like, that's wrong. You would never do that. You would always put the cheese on top of the meat patty. So they updated it, and now they have the cheese on top of the meat patty. So here's a question. Do you know what Android 8.0 was the nickname for it?
What?
It was Oreo.
Oh.
Did you know that like each of the Android releases has like a code name?
Oh my gosh. I need to look this up because there's this one Android phone that has like the longest name ever.
Yeah, which one? You just got an Android phone for your birthday.
Yeah, it's called like the Motorola or something.
And what version do you have of? Let's see what version you have of.
The burger emoji? Of the burger emoji? Are you looking at
You have Android 6.0.
Does that have the burger emoji?
I wonder if you could get an update of it. Let's see if there are any systems update. Nope, you don't have any systems update. So you have Android 6.0. But Android 8.1 is the newest one. It's the one they just rolled out. Only a few devices have that. I have Android 7.1, I think, on my phone.
Wait, why is it called the Oreo?
So that's what I was getting to. So each of the Android releases, we're kind of an Android family, except for Phoebe. She's an Apple person.
You've betrayed us, Phoebe.
I'm a big Android fan, and so you guys are Android fans. The very first Android phone I had was Android Eclair. It was a really old smartphone. It didn't work really all that well. But the very first one that had a code name or a nickname was Android 1.5, was called Cupcake.
Okay.
And everything after that has been a snack food, and it's been a snack food that begins with the letter of the alphabet. So after Cupcake, it was something that begins with D.
Donut?
Doritos.
You are correct. So after Cupcake was donut. And then Eclair, I already said that. So Eclair was E. Do you know what it was for F?
Frosting? I know it isn't that, but funnel cake? No, not funnel cake.
Not frosting, not funnel cake. This one's a little bit hard.
My tongue.
You want a clue? I don't know.
What?
It's something that's kind of okay. Like ice cream.
Oh,
what's it called? I can't remember what it's called.
Frozen yogurt. So,
I don't like that name.
So, Android 2.2 was Froyo. Android 2.3 begins with a G. What begins with a G? This one's kind of hard. It's something you might have around Christmas time. There's a clue.
Eggnog
does not begin with a G.
Yes, three G's in it, though.
You might make a house out of it.
Gingerbread.
Very good.
Okay, but the most ridiculous Android phone name ever is Samsung Galaxy S2 4G Epic Touch. Hey, have you got the new Samsung Galaxy S2 4G Epic Touch? It's like a Starbucks order.
That's the name
order.
Of a phone. We're talking about just Android releases. So after G was H, and something that begins with H. And here's a clue. It's also kind of breakfast cereal. H. What's a snack food that begins with H and is also a breakfast cereal?
I know this one, but I can't remember what it's called.
It's not really a snack food, actually. I mean, not for most people.
Granola. No.
H.
I don't know.
I can't remember the name of it, so I'm just going to say something else. Honey.
Very close.
Whoa.
Honey Nut Cheerios?
Not Honey Nut Cheerios. But it does start with honey.
Honey Grams? Honey Flakes?
Honey and then something honey you might granola? Use to...
Honeycomb.
Very good. Honeycomb. H was Honeycomb. That was Android 3.0, starting with Android 4.0. And I think this is where the Android actually kind of got good, was with I. What is a snack food that begins with I?
Evil. Evil starts with an I, right?
No, it starts with an E.
Illuminati.
Does start with I, but it's not a snack food.
Illuminati.
What's something yummy that starts with I?
Illuminati.
Stop. That's tasty. Obnoxious now. Ice cream is the first part. There's one more word.
Ice cream.
It's one of the best kinds of these things.
Ice cream sandwich.
Very good. So Android 4.0 was ice cream sandwich. J, what was Android? I guess it's 4.1 to 4.3. Starts with a J.
Jalapeno.
Nope. Something sweet.
Yeah. Gelatin. Jelly. Donut. Jello.
You're getting so close.
Jelly
so
donut?
Close. Nope. But very close. That first part.
Jello? Gelatin?
Nope.
Jelly.
He said jelly donut.
Jelly cake.
Jelly cake is not a thing.
Peanut butter and jelly.
It's one of your favorite things. Yes, jelly beans.
Yeah, Jelly Boy is like one of my favorite candies. One of them. Butterfinger is also really good.
We only have a few more left to do.
I'm sorry. K.
Cake. With the cake.
Cream.
And this is actually a brand name. This was the first time they used a brand name. Was for K.
Kringle, is that a thing?
Kringle, like Kris Kringle? No.
Yeah, it's Kris Kringle. Kris Kringle is delicious.
It's something William got recently.
Braces.
Just the other day.
Tired.
You got some of these.
Oh, Kit Kat.
Yes.
That's a decent name for a phone.
L.
That's a white elephant.
Lol.
Something lol. Yummy that begins with L.
Lemon bars.
Here's a clue. It does start with lol.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
It does start with lol. The first three letters are LOL.
Lollipop.
Yes, lollipop.
Lollipop.
Lol.
The next one is 6.0. This is what you have on your phone. Android Motorola. 6.0. Begins with an M.
Motorola.
Close.
That's what mine is,
but it's not
though.
A snack food. Motorola is not a snack food.
Motor
but it starts
oil.
And ends with the same word. Sounds. Starts and ends with the same sounds.
Motor oil. Mellow jello.
Mellow.
Oh,
is
mellow
close.
Yellow.
Mellow yellow.
Starts with
marshmallow.
There you go. And then there's an N, and then we already know what O is. That's Oreo, right? That's
ooh,
the most recent one. N. So Android 7.0, that's the one I have.
No.
I think I have 7.1.
Oh, I know
starts
it.
With an N.
No.
I thought you had a 1 plus 3.
And it's yummy stuff that's in the middle of a candy bar.
Nougat.
Yes.
Yeah, I was about to say that, but I kind of wanted to say no.
And those are the Android releases.
Okay, but there's the...
Wait, was that
I don't know what's going to be after Oreo. I would say it'd be something that begins with a P.
Was that its own segment? Was that its own segment?
No, I just thought you guys might be interested in knowing what all the
picture. Know the picture.
Oh, of the little Oreo Android.
Yeah.
You know what? We've been going for a while. Usually we have some segment between news and our final segment. But it's kind of late and I gotta get this podcast posted. I think we're going to go right to
I wonder
our
what it
final
is.
Segment. We have one last thing to do, and that is...
Hypothetical.
For you. Treat hypothetical. Yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right, treat yourself. Treat yourself.
It's called hypothetical.
You know what we did on the last podcast?
Twinkies.
Twinkies. Food. Peppermint Twinkies.
And now we're going to do Twinkies.
And now we're
going
to have another kind of Twinkies that I've never had before.
Peanut butter chocolate.
We have chocolate peanut butter Twinkies.
Which I wasn't there to try the last Twinkies, but I did try them and they were delicious.
You liked the peppermint Twinkies?
So were the
gingerbread
the
things.
And then the other thing we have to try are something that just came out called Hershey's Gold. It's caramelized cream with peanuts and pretzels in it. It looks pretty good.
Wait, have we gotten ruby chocolate
yet? It's like caramelized chocolate. It's kind of yellow gold. Well, it's gold color. It's Hershey's Gold. So we're going to try that. We'll try the Twinkies first.
I think these
you guys are digging
are
into
like,
them. Don't bite it yet. I'm going to mute the mic so we don't chew into the mics.
I think they're going to be like those like circular. Is it Ding Dongs or like disc shaped ones?
All right. What do you think?
It's good. It's great. I didn't expect the peanut butter to be so creamy.
I'd
say it is Twinkies.
I'd snack on it. The peanut butter's a little off, but I'd say it's like a low grade delicious.
I'd say it's a high grade.
I agree
delicious.
With you. I think it's better than okay. It's delicious. It's not the best thing I've ever had in the world, but I'm not going to lie, I would eat it. I like it better than a regular Twinkie.
Same.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I don't know.
Regular I like the peanut butter good. Cream filling. I think the peanut butter cream filling is kind of good.
Regular Twinkies are pretty good.
The chocolate cake's okay. I'm not a huge Twinkie fan. I gotta confess.
Do you like Ding Dongs?
I like Ding Dongs better than I like Twinkies. Yeah,
Ding Dongs are good. I like the texture.
I like that they're fudge covered too.
I think the peppermint Twinkies are a bit better.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, probably. I think I did like the peppermint just a little bit better.
Yeah.
But these are also pretty good.
Also, the peppermints were a really appealing color.
All right, let's try Hershey's Gold. It says it's caramelized cream Hershey's.
I've been feeling both these.
Peanuts and pretzel.
I have a Hershey's bar upstairs right now.
Hershey's are perfect we got like 5 Hershey's for oil. Hershey's are perfect for the podcast because they're easily divisible.
All right, I'm going to mute mics.
Okay.
It's delicious.
I didn't expect it. I thought it would be more like peanut buttery, but it's like peanut brittle-y, so it's really good. And I like peanut brittle.
It is really good.
First it's like, oh, this is great, and then it's like, wait.
This one is, it's great. This one's one of the best things I've had in a while.
Yum, 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 delicioso.
Hershey's has good products. Like, there's the Symphony Bars, which I've gotten from 3 different music teachers.
It's really caramely, and the pretzels really stand out.
I would say they're even better than Hershey's Cookies and Cream, which I really like.
And in a way, it kind of reminds me of, like, caramel corn. It's got kind of a caramel corny taste, and I like that the pretzels taste a little bit salty.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really tasty. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that is probably my biggest recommendation is the Hershey's Gold Peanuts and Pretzels. Check them out. I think I got these at Walgreens. They had them on sale. First time I'd seen them. The chocolate and peanut butter Twinkies aren't bad either. If you like Twinkies, they're not like, it's not a strong recommendation, but they are pretty tasty. It's all junk food. None of it's good for you, but these are both tasty. And that is our podcast. So thank you, William and Henry, for participating.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone who listened. If you did listen, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. We try to put some stuff out there that relates to the podcast, so you get some visuals and stuff like that. If you want to help us out, the one thing you can really do that will help us out is you can subscribe, rate, and review us. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, that really helps us out and it helps us get the word out on the podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.